This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's hour one on this Thursday. Gang's all here, including Fritzy, ready to go. Full speed ahead. We'll go out to the combine coming up here in a little bit. Phone calls are always welcome. Operator Tyler is sitting by, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dp show. Stat of the day brought to you, as always, by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show, where you will find the hottest rookies, biggest superstars, the all-time greats. Only one place to collect them all. It's Panini Trading Cards. Instant classics, autograph cards, memorabilia cards, rare inserts. Start or continue your collection now at PaniniAmerica.net. We'll have a play of the day, poll question, and a few stats of the day as well coming up. Caleb Williams met with the media yesterday, the reporters at the Combine, and some pandering going on. He said all the right things. If the Bears happened to take him, he wanted to go to a Cubs game. He brought up Walter Payton's name.
Smart move.
Then all of a sudden it's like, okay, local media in Chicago is lapping it up. Oh, my gosh, he wants to be one of us, until he doesn't want to be one of you. And Washington decides they want to trade up and get Caleb Williams. But said all the right things, and now you start to get some real hard evidence of how teams feel about some of these players. Certainly the quarterbacks, you'll have information that starts to leak out a little bit more because you're able to see these players now. A lot of the marquee players, the quarterbacks, aren't going to be throwing, performing. They're going to go in there for the medicals and also the interviewing process. Seton, what's the poll question we're going to start with?
I'm happy to report, Dan, the T.O. Dubs has been all over poll questions. Where I've gotten several emails from him about suggested poll questions for this show Thursday, February 29th.
Okay, it is leap year.
Yeah.
Every leap year, he really brings it.
Every 4 years.
That's fine. What's every 4 years? It'll be the last one for our time together, I guess.
Leap year. Okay.
This is where you start saying.
How many teams should be included in the college football playoff? 12, 14, 16, 20 plus. Keep it at 4? Question mark.
Well, there was a report yesterday that I think emanated from the Big Ten that they would like to expand. We haven't expanded to 12 yet, and they're trying to expand to 14. Hold on for dear life here with what goes on in college athletics, certainly with basketball and football. Here you have the NCAA thinking about going to 96 teams for March Madness. Now you're having college football where we didn't get to 12 yet. There's no official contract. There's been conversation, but now they want to expand to 14 teams. Okay. Well, if your school was the 13th or 14th ranked team last year, you're probably like, I'm all in favor of this. More money for more teams, and that's what this is all about. All about money. For people who shouted from the rooftops about breaking contracts and what about bowl game traditions, nonsense. It's all about money. It's always been about money. Now it's front and center. paying players. Always been there. Now it's front and center. We found out that Caleb Williams was making probably $9 million going to USC. Like, you know, the price of talent is going up. And, you know, these schools want to make more money. Conferences want to make more money. Paula, you have more details in this proposed 14-team playoff.
A little bit. More so that the fact that I think people thought it was a done deal. We're going to a 12-team playoffs basically in perpetuity for the next decade. Well, part of the deal was done. Like the TV side of the deal with ESPN and Fox and others was the done part. The structure and the signing off on it was still pending. They thought there would be a deal done before March, but according to some of these reports, in these rooms, ideas were being thrown out. Like, what else could we do here? A couple other, Notre Dame was involved. Other people were involved. Like, who could be? They threw out ideas because the deal was not signed yet. Bill Hancock, who's running this, the college football playoff, says he has a deadline of March for the deal to be done. But since it wasn't done, they threw out other ideas like 14-team players.
Well, it's not going to stop there. Won't stop at 12. Won't stop at 14. Because everybody now realizes the amount of money that's at stake. And that's why I kept saying, you're going to leave a four-team playoff because everybody's going to realize how much money you could make. And that's why they tried to put this in the fast lane. You know, they tried to expedite this so they can move it up a couple of years. And they came close to doing that. They want as much money as possible. And ESPN and Fox are, you know, culpable in this as well. That's what they want. Yes, Paul.
Pete Thamel and Heather Dinich of ESPN have a source off the record who said this is the 14-team model that's being thrown out there. The SEC would have three automatic qualifiers. The Big Ten would have three automatic qualifiers. The ACC would get two. The Big 12 would get two. The Group of Five conferences would get one automatic qualifier. Three at-large spots. And then listen to this. Notre Dame gets a spot if they're in the top 14. They're the only team mentioned by name.
Okay.
That would be, that's a possible breakdown of a 14 team.
All right. Sure. I don't put anything out of the realm of possibility with college athletics anymore. I just don't. You know, if you're the NCAA, and this was told to me by a source, because he said, you know, why are you surprised that they may be going to 96 teams? I said, well, like, how much is too much? It's a glut. Like, we do like that there is a finite amount of teams that are going to make it, not everybody. And I was told the NCAA can govern this. They don't govern college football. College football is really the SEC and the Big Ten. That's different. The NCAA is not governing that. They can make their money. They make their money off March Madness. And if you add however many teams, you go from 68 to 96, that's more money for the NCAA. And he said, as you always say, it's about the money. That's what this is about. Bottom line, about the money. I said, okay, all right. So the NCAA wants to go to 96 so the NCAA can make money, whereas the Big Ten and the SEC, if they go to 14, they're going to make more money for their conferences. And you get sort of that, hey, everybody else gets to play a little bit as well. We might get your school in there if they're good. And, of course, Notre Dame will always. It's almost like they get an automatic berth. Notre Dame should be in the top 14 every single year, you would think. And then the SEC would get three, and then you have at-large berths. So could the SEC get like five teams in a 14-team playoff or the Big Ten? I would love it if you capped it with something like that, where you said the Big Ten got three, the SEC got three, the ACC gets two, because you might get two schools out of the, or one out of the ACC that shouldn't be in the top, you know, 14. But if you're going to do it, you're going to do that with the Big 12, okay, but cap it at that. So you do allow more schools in there. It's going to be the same schools. It just is, for the most part. Until NIL, you know, maybe takes a left turn here and somebody starts to, you know, get some kind of sugar daddy who's going to spend a lot of money. And I keep waiting for that. Like a billionaire is going to say, you know, how about I give you $100 million? That's my donation I'm going to give to the university. And I want the football team to build a powerhouse. Like, it's not crazy to think that. I mean, look at Liberty's football team. They didn't have a football team. Then they have a football team. And they've been ranked in the top 25. And it seems like they started the football program yesterday. It can happen overnight, and that's what I wonder. Can you have somebody who is going to pony up money for the sole purpose of having a great football team? Warren Buffett, if he wanted to, big Nebraska fan, Warren Buffett could conceivably say, here's a slush fund. Do with it what you like, but before the end of my life, I want Nebraska to play for a national championship. One of the richest men in the world. If Jeff Bezos wanted to support, I don't know where he went to college.
Princeton.
But, oh, well, he's not going to win a national championship.
They could secede from the union and go on their own.
Mm. But I think that you're going to have that one day, that you're just going to have people who outspend other schools and the SEC and the Big Ten, and maybe you get an outlier in there, and that could be kind of fun. All right. So, other poll questions, Todd?
Two more. One is, how do you feel about the NBA's LA teams right now? I believe the Lakers and Clippers will go far. I only believe in the Clippers. I only believe in the Lakers. I believe in neither after the big fourth quarter comeback by LeBron and the purple and gold.
Okay, we were just talking about this yesterday. Seton came in and said, you know, the Clippers are a good story. It's interesting. They're playing well, but they're always second fiddle to the Lakers. Lakers, Clippers last night. We're all of a sudden ready to go, all right, buying into the Clippers. And then all of a sudden they blow a 21-point fourth quarter lead. And LeBron was unbelievable in the fourth quarter, outscoring the Clippers. But I have two problems with this. The first three quarters, Clippers looked awesome. The Lakers didn't. See, you can look at this both ways. How did the Lakers get down 21? And then if you're the Clippers, how did you allow the Lakers to come back from 21 down? As LeBron said recently, on any given night, we can beat the best team and we can be beaten by the worst team. That doesn't bode well come April, May, and if there is a possibility with June. And with the Clippers, it just feels like, you know, buyer beware. Buyer beware. And it feels like Lucy is holding the football, and Charlie Brown, he trusts her again. You promise you're not going to pull that? I won't, Charlie. And then Charlie ends up on his backside. Yes, Todd.
And the other one was, if the Bears select Caleb Williams, which song is more likely to depict his career there? My Kind of Town, Chicago Is, Frank Sinatra, or Paper Lace, The Night Chicago Died?
Wow.
Which Chicago song will depict the career of Caleb Williams in Chicago?
Okay. All right.
Paper Lace.
The Night Chicago Died.
Pretty big hit back in 1974. Yeah. I know you love when I keep it current.
Yeah, that is real current. You gave me Sinatra, and you gave me 1974.
Those are big hit songs about Chicago and the extremes of how positive or negative things could go with Caleb there.
Paper Lace.
Once again, My Kind of Town or The Night Chicago Died.
What is the song about with The Night Chicago Died? Paper Lace.
I don't know Paper Lace that well. They're a British band. They have no ties to Chicago.
Mm. What do they have against Chicago?
Yeah, The Night Chicago Died is about a shootout between the Chicago police and gangsters tied to Al Capone. That was the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Mm. Okay.
It's an upbeat topic.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da, The Night Chicago Died.
It was a major story in Nottingham. So
yeah. Huge.
All right, so we'll go to the combine coming up. Caleb Williams talked about the Bears, a little bit about the Commanders. He said all the right things, and that's good. We mentioned college football playoffs, bumping it up maybe to 14 teams. Caitlin Clark is now the all-time leading scorer in women's college basketball history. I love that Lynette Woodard was acknowledged last night, and rightfully so, because she should have been viewed as the all-time leading scorer. You know, Kelsey Plum was listed as the all-time leading scorer. Lynette Woodard didn't even get that recognition when Kelsey became the all-time leading scorer. So Caitlin Clark surpasses Lynette, but they gave Lynette her flowers. Next up for Caitlin Clark this weekend against Ohio State will be Pete Maravich's all-time scoring record. And I do like that when there is a record, a modern-day record, and we look back and we acknowledge who held the record before, it's a chance. Lynette Woodard has probably been celebrated more for her career than when she actually set the all-time record. Pete Maravich was always celebrated. Pete Maravich's name still comes up. You can go to YouTube and see Pete Maravich in college or in the NBA. I got to see him twice in person, once in Cincinnati against Nate Archibald. It's one of the greatest performances by both of those guys that it made it so much fun. There was no defense, and it was Maravich against Nate Archibald, and got to see Pete at his Pete Maravich-ish, you know, NBA peak, because he was great in college. I imagine you score so much, you seem bored by scoring. Pete seemed bored. When he got to the NBA, it just felt like I've done this. And he always wanted to be a winner. And he never was. Didn't get that opportunity. His LSU teams weren't great. They went to the NIT. And even when he went to the pros, you know, the Jazz weren't a great team. The Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks had a mass exodus. When Pete got there, a couple of the veterans said, we're not going to play with this kid. They went to the ABA. And I think Lou Hudson was the one veteran who stayed there with Pete. And, you know, he went to the Celtics late in his career, but, you know, and then died at the age of 40. Yes, Marv.
Pete Maravich and Patrick Ewing, are those two guys that are first ballot Hall of Famers that are probably more famous for their college careers?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say Ewing's impact on college basketball, that Georgetown team, yes. I would think that's fair to say. I mean, Ewing was a great, would have been a Hall of Famer with his NBA career, and Pete would probably be a Hall of Famer. He was really good in the NBA, but it was different when he was in college. Nobody had seen something like that. But back then, you did have a lot of great scorers. Rick Mount was a great scorer. Calvin Murphy was a great scorer. Bo Lamar, Freeman Williams. It was important to lead the nation in scoring. Now it's not. Like, who led the nation in scoring last year or the year before? It's not that big a deal. But back then, it was. And Pete's averaging 40, 44 a game. Yeah, Pauline.
And that's another comparison with Caitlin Clark and Pete Maravich. He was a phenom in college. She is. In WNBA, it may cool off a little bit. Like, if you look at Pete Maravich, he had a season where he averaged 31 points a game and led the league in scoring. He was a six-time All-Star. He didn't have a terrible pro career. It's just nothing could match, as you know, what he did in college.
He was just, he was a kind of a sideshow. He was somebody you went out and saw. You weren't going out to see the team, you were going out to see Pete. And I got there probably 2.5 hours before the game started, and Maravich came out in warm-ups and then put on a show in warm-ups. You know, like you have with Steph Curry, Pete was doing a lot of ball tricks and shooting and dunking and, you know, and then Nate Archibald came out for the Royals, and he was wonderful as well. But, you know, those days of seeing somebody who is going to lead the nation in scoring, and it's important, those are long gone. Because most of these players don't stay around for more than... If you're good enough to average 25 a game, you're probably not staying around. That's why Pete's all-time record... Now, I know it was threatened recently, but in 3 years, nobody will touch that because nobody's going to... If you average 40 a game in college, you're not going to stay around for more than 1 year. And I don't know if any coach is going to say, go out there and take as many shots as you want, because Pete's dad was his coach at LSU. But Caitlin Clark did it the way Caitlin Clark does. Let's get this out of the way quickly. And I think she was up like 13-0 on Minnesota herself last night. And, you know, it's amazing. It's like seeing a band, and it's their farewell tour. That's what it feels like with Caitlin Clark. Every stop along the way, she sells out, and you got a lot of young, you know, children who are showing up, little girls who are showing up. Everybody's got signs and jerseys. I mean, it's a thing. It is quite an impact with college. I should say just college basketball, not just women's college basketball. All right, we'll take a break. Go out to the Combine. Phone calls are welcome. 877-3DP-SHOW. Settle on our poll question today. We'll talk a little bit more about the Lakers' comeback win against the Clippers. Does it say more about the Lakers or the Clippers with that end result? We're back after this on the Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
I mentioned having watched Pete Maravich in person in Cincinnati. The date was March 13th, 1971. I just saw the box score. Maravich scored 44 and Nate Archibald scored 47. Cincinnati Royals beat the Atlanta Hawks. Still one of the best games I ever saw. And I loved it because there's absolutely no defense being played. The Mercedes-Benz interview of the day is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the EV. Owning a Mercedes-Benz EV isn't just extraordinary, it's extra easy. The vehicle's all electric, the feeling all Mercedes, the choice is all yours. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQ. Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst. He will be all over ESPN shows leading up to the draft. His top 50 prospects came out this week on ESPN.com. Matt, thanks for joining us. Let me start with Caleb Williams. Was it pandering yesterday to the Chicago media? Felt like Caleb said everything that a Chicago Bear fan would want to hear.
I don't know if it was pandering, or but maybe just him finally having his own voice, Dan, because I don't know how much you are on social media, probably a healthy amount compared to the rest of us, but social media for the last 3 months has been Caleb Williams wants private equity stakes in whichever teams draft him. Caleb Williams doesn't want to be a Chicago Bear. Everyone, seemingly, even though no one would put their name on it, everyone had a voice for Caleb Williams, except for Caleb Williams. So I actually think he did a good job of coming out and saying, man, I don't care where I'm drafted. I'm not going to Eli Manning this. I'm not going to John Elway this. I respect the process that is the NFL draft. If it's the Chicago Bears, you know, I'll go to the home of deep dish pizza and Michael Jordan. And if it's not the Chicago Bears, like, I'll go to Washington, where I'm from. You know, I feel like he did approach it the right way. And, you know, I respect that he waited to get his voice out there until this moment, because he could have been pushing back in November, December, January, February. Now we get to the combine and he says, all right, it's business time. I'll finally put these rumors to rest.
Okay, why did these rumors get circulated to begin with?
I have no idea. It's every year, though. It's every single year. You know, it was Joe Burrow doesn't want to play for the Cincinnati Bengals, and Joe never said anything about that. It feels like every year there's a top prospect that we expect is going to do an Eli Manning, even though no one's done that since 2004. And before that, it was 1983. So, you know, we've got about 10 more years before we're on schedule for another prospect to say, I don't want to go to such and such team. But I think it's a little bit of lazy, but also it's engaging. It's engaging for some of these accounts to get on X or Twitter or Instagram or TikTok and say, Caleb Williams doesn't want to be a Bear. And as long as Caleb doesn't immediately push back on that, they've got days worth of engagement, and that now equals money and a lot of attention.
Was Caleb Williams a better prospect last year?
I don't think so. You know what? Maybe I'm an outlier here. I actually like that he battled some adversity this year, because having watched him, you know, come into a halftime of the Red River game and beat Texas, the comeback to beat Texas, he's riding this high. You go to USC, you follow your coach like something out of Any Given Sunday, you know, Willie Beeman following Al Pacino to the new franchise, and they have this magical Heisman year. I like that he came back this year on a really bad USC team and had to face some adversity for the first time as a college player. That actually helps me in my evaluation. I know it helps NFL teams as well, because you're not going to get drafted to a team that's going to be great. You're going to have to carry that team. There's going to be bumps and bruises. This season, I think, showed that he's capable of doing that. He is at times an emotional young man. He was 21 years old. I think that's, you know, to be expected. He saw his college dreams ending in some of those games that they expected to win, but he had to learn how to lose and how to learn how to carry a team and keep that culture intact despite a season with five losses.
And I understand what he's saying yesterday. He doesn't need to commit to the Bears if the Bears aren't committing to him and leaving open the pot. You don't want to say all these nice things about, hey, I want to be a Chicago Bear, and next thing you know, Washington's traded up to get him. What would the package be if Washington wants to go up, in your opinion?
It's a lot, because you're paying a premium, because we all know that there's this one special player. So it's not your normal, let's switch two places like Chicago and San Francisco did a couple of years ago. I think it starts with a first-round pick next year. So a 2025 first-round pick. If I were the Chicago Bears, I would do a lot like what I did last year with the Carolina Panthers. I'm going to ask for a 2025 first. I'm going to ask for a defensive tackle, Jonathan Allen, who has already said, I'm not here for another rebuild. The Bears have a massive need, a defensive tackle. And then I think you can say, all right, we would like a third-round pick in 2024 as well, because Ryan Poles has all the leverage. He has all the control. He can say, no, we love Caleb Williams. We'll draft him right here. I think what might complicate matters is Jaden Daniels from LSU is a player that is really, really talented in his own right. So for Poles and the Bears, they might not have as much leverage as we think, because Jaden Daniels isn't as much of a drop-off from Caleb Williams as we may have expected when this season started back in August. So now if you're Washington, you might even be able to argue, well, you know, we'll stay at two and take Jaden Daniels. So maybe you can each stand in your corner and fight it out a little bit to where you don't have to give up as much. But I think a premium player and a first-round pick is where you start.
We're talking to Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst. Why are reviews on Drake May so varied?
Yeah, I think beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And if you look at Drake May, you see, oh my gosh, this is Josh Allen. This is Justin Herbert. He's 6'4". He's 230 pounds, and he's mobile. Those are the things that get you really excited. I think what has happened, and I do this as well, we are largely one-person scouting departments when you work in the media, so you're playing catch-up a lot of the time. Once a guy declares for the draft, you start to play catch-up, and we have these pockets of time to do that. So for me personally, the more I've been able to watch Drake, the more some things bother me. You know, the processing speed is not always great, and I think that is one red flag with quarterbacks who've come out the past 5-6 years when they haven't had early success. It's processing speed. You know, we could say that about Justin Fields, who there are times Justin looks fantastic. There are other times you have no idea what's going on. And I think Drake May is really similar in that regard. While not being as fast as Justin, not as accomplished as a runner, but you see some of the deer in the headlights things at times, especially, you know, teams are sending free rushers at Drake May, and he doesn't have an answer for that a lot of the time. So he's going to need a little more coaching and development than I think he was billed as, especially after that great season last year, 2022. They struggled a little bit more this year with a new scheme. He lost Josh Downs until they got Tez Walker, who was, you know, late because of NCAA rules. That offense just looked disjointed, and it definitely affected his game.
Yeah, he didn't lift the team up. And that's, you know, he regressed a little bit, and that happens a lot because you can have a great year and then you come back. You know, Matt Leinart did this. I mean, it's the college football's littered with these quarterbacks who came back. And then sometimes you go, okay, they're not as good as they were. And as you mentioned, Caleb Williams kind of battled through adversity, so he showed you something. I just didn't see anything when I watched Drake May where I went, wow. And if I'm Washington, yeah. I'm not taking a chance. If I'm New England, I'm not taking a chance on that because I got a developmental guy instead of I got somebody who's going to play right away.
I said this last night on SportsCenter, and I think everyone laughed at me. I would not take Drake May if I was with the Patriots. They do not have the infrastructure for a developmental quarterback. Like you just said, you don't have a left tackle. You don't have a wide receiver. We don't even really know what this regime is going to look like right now. Everything is new. I don't think this is the year to draft a quarterback, and you hear the arguments, you may never be up here again. That might be true. I've looked at that roster. I feel pretty good that they're going to be drafting early again. I think we're comfortable in 2025, yeah. New England. You're going to be up there again. So I'm with you. I think, you know, Drake is someone where it would be ideal for him to go somewhere. I think where there's either much better infrastructure or where there's not going to be that immediate pressure. You know, he won't last to the Minnesota Vikings, but that would be such a great opportunity for him to sit behind Kirk Cousins for 1 year and then be ready to go. So maybe Minnesota comes up to get a player like that, but I think that's the ideal situation for him.
Help me understand the fascination with J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, teams love the, you know, the spunkiness that's there, the toughness. It's all the things off the field, Dan. It's never, hey, let's watch the Alabama game together and we're going to watch him tear apart this defense. It's more of he's tough, he's smart, he's athletic. I think the weigh-in for him is actually going to be much more interesting than people have realized. He's probably not going to be 6'3". I think it might be a struggle to be 200 pounds. He's not a big guy. He does have a good arm. He does have good mobility, but it's a lot of the unknowns. And I'll never forget being told by a general manager pretty early in my career that we love people who haven't failed yet. You know, and so J.J. McCarthy doesn't have that one bad game out there. There might be a game like Penn State where he didn't throw in the second half, but he doesn't have that bad game that you can kind of, like we're doing with Drake May, you know, hanging your hat on some of the struggles that he's had. JJ was really protected at Michigan. And so it is. It's a great unknown. This guy was 26-1 in college, won a national championship, carried his team, wasn't always asked to do a lot. So it is really a great mystery.
Yeah, I don't know if he carried his team because they were a running team and a great defensive team. That's really what carried them. That's why, you know, I know previous year against Ohio State, he looked great. But it feels like Denver and Sean Payton are in love with J.J. McCarthy or a lot of these mocks. And I'm going, okay. Like, I don't see it, and he might be great. I keep waiting to go, that's okay. Now I got it. Now I understand it. And then there's Bo Nix. Like, Bo Nix was supposed to be something at Auburn. And then he ends up at Oregon and had an unbelievable year. Unbelievable season. I don't know what, you know, the draft experts and teams think about him. If you know, you're going, okay, is that an aberration here, or is he building and, you know, adding to his arsenal here?
Yeah, Bill Walsh used to have, I've read his book 40 times probably. It has this line that with quarterbacks, if he could see them do it a couple times, he knew he could coach them and get that consistently. That's what you're hoping with Bo Nix, is that you have that coach there that can say, we can get the last 2 years at Oregon out of you. And I do think he will be a starter rookie year. He played 61 games in college. He is arguably the most pro-ready quarterback in this draft. However, he doesn't have the arm strength of Drake May. He doesn't have the mobility of Jaden Daniels. He has good arm strength and he has good mobility. A lot of what they did at Oregon was deep shot or play the sideline. And so that's what I have to see, and that's why this week's important. I would like to see him throw on time over the middle. I would like to see him layer the ball, you know, into some pockets that are going to have to be there in the NFL, especially where you can't just play the hashes like they did in college at Oregon. So, you know, it's a great story. You know, the struggles at Auburn where he was really, you know, tabbed as this next great thing. You go to Oregon and revitalize your career. You know, I'd like to give him credit for that, for sticking with it and for persevering and becoming a better player. But, you know, with McCarthy and Nix, Dan, this is where, like, rankings of how we actually watch guys and rank them versus where they are in mock drafts. You know, you can have JJ in the 20s, Nix in the 30s or 40s, but you're thinking they're going to get drafted somewhere in the teens because someone's going to fall in love with the intangible. Someone's going to fall in love with the fact that It's that or Aiden O'Connell. You know, it's that or Drew Locke. What do you do at the quarterback position? So I think that's why we'll see those guys drafted a lot higher than where we actually rank them.
And you think Bo Nix starts as a rookie?
I do. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say if he goes to the Vikings, he's not going to unseat Kirk Cousins. But, you know, like the Giants in the second round, they have 2 second-round picks. If he makes it to the Giants in round 2, I think he fits what Brian Daboll wants to do. Yeah, I think he could beat out Daniel Jones. I feel better about that. But, you know, some of this matters on situation.
Yeah, he's 24. The receiving core, once again, feels like you got at least 2, maybe 3 plug-and-play high draft picks here. Assess what we're going to see in the top 10, top 15.
Yeah, I think we'll see 3 receivers in the top 7 picks. Marvin Harrison Jr., Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers. They could go 4, 5, 6. They are that talented. They could fly off the board right after the quarterbacks do. Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU is right there in the mix as well. Maybe not in the top 7 or 8, but he could be drafted in the early teens. Led the nation with 17 touchdown catches last year. He was Jaden Daniels' deep threat. He was the guy with the speed running vertically. He's got great body control, great length to pull in some of those deep passes. But it does feel like every year we're saying, historically deep wide receiver class. And here we are again. But I think this time it might actually be true. You know, a Marvin Harrison Jr. is a rare enough prospect that he doesn't have to work out at the combine and he doesn't have to have a pro day. And he can still be a top 3 pick. He's that special as a player. And Nabers and Odunze, they were absolutely unstoppable the last 2 years. And they also, you know, have the resumes that Malik Nabers won't be running at the combine. Rome Odunze, as of now, will be. And he has he's got a chance to do what CJ Stroud and Anthony Richardson did last year, which is say, all right, top guy's not working out, I'll do it. I'm not afraid to work out, and I'll make someone fall in love with me because I am the best player here who's actually performing.
Any new combine jargon, oily hips, waist bender, anything we need to be aware of?
Not yet, but the workouts start this afternoon, so I will report back with what the new hot phrase is.
And when do the hand measurements for quarterbacks come in, just so I can, you know, break into coverage here on our program?
Yeah, it should be tomorrow morning, I believe. I remember last year,
okay,
Adam Schefter and I texting back and forth waiting for the Bryce Young weigh-in. So I think it's Friday around noon is when that should come out.
Have fun there, Matt. Always great to talk to you.
Likewise. Thanks, guys.
That's Matt Miller. He's ESPN NFL draft expert, analyst. And his top 50 prospects list just came out this week on ESPN.com. I've never gone to the combine. I don't want to go to the combine.
No.
No.
Just for the experience?
No. No. I feel weird watching the combine. I do.
But you do watch it. You have it on in the background during the weekend.
I have it available. But a lot of it is I just want to hear names that maybe I'm not that familiar with. But still, it's just kind of strange. You're watching guys in shorts and a T-shirt, and they're working out, and we're oohing and aahing. I'm okay. Yes, Paul.
I was watching the combine promos for NFL Network and other places, and guess who the player they're pubbing it with? Puka Nacua from the Rams are saying, tune in the combine. Who's the next Puka Nacua? And it's actually him saying, tune in the combine. You may see the next me.
Ah.
See, it's like Tom Brady is the 6th-round lead guy.
Yeah.
And now, who is it? Who's the 7th? Mr. Irrelevant? Brock Purdy. He will start every 7th round for the draft forever.
Okay.
Puka Nacua is the combine guy.
Okay. But if you were going to do the 2nd round, 3rd round, 4th round, 5th, 6th, 7th.
Oh, steal from each round?
Yeah, like there's one face for each one of those rounds. So we take out the 1st round. And if I say, 2nd round. Because you got Terrell Davis, like he was 5th round, is that right? And then Tom was 6th round.
Right.
We all know who's 6th.
Of course, yeah, of course. Match. Number 199, pick 199. And then you'll have who? Russell Wilson Jr. III is he was a 3rd-round pick.
Yeah.
Yes, Marv.
And Puka's 5th round.
Oh, but is Puka? He's going to supplant Terrell Davis, Hall of Famer.
It's going to take some time.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, I wonder if you say, when I think of the 7th round, we're always going to think of Brock Purdy. Now,
how about Joe Montana round 3? He gets round 3.
Okay.
You'd think first ballot.
Yeah. But I'm curious about that each round. That if you go, that guy, 2nd round, 3rd round, 4th round. I'm just curious. Terrell was sixth round, Marvin?
Correct.
Ooh. Mm. So he gets kicked to the curb. Sorry about that. You know, that's Tom's round. That's Tom's.
You're taking best running back from each round, though.
All right, let me take a break.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Saw this story yesterday, and I thought there was a typo because they were talking about a 14-team playoff, and I go, we didn't even get to the 12-team playoff. And now we're talking about, or at least there's discussions about a 14-team playoff in college football. So Fritzy reached out to Heather Dinich, who covers the sport for the Mothership, National College Football Reporter, and she's kind enough to join us. What happened to 12, Heather, that now we're already talking about 14?
12 is still here. Now everybody can get set for 12-team playoff for each of the next two seasons. College football fans are going to see that this fall. But the contract runs out. The 12-year college football playoff contract with ESPN runs out following the 2025 season. So the discussion is, then what? Then what happens? So that's why they're talking about a 14-team playoff now, because it's all tangled up with the TV contract. The deal that's on the table is this 2 years plus six more years. And so what do they want the format to look like in those 6 years? And of course, as you know, this is all stemming from sweeping conference realignment, which has made the SEC and the Big Ten the biggest, wealthiest conferences in the country. And they're saying, hey, we've got more teams. We've got better teams. We want more spots. We want more money. And here we are.
Is this a Big Ten SEC initiative? They're the ones pushing this?
I'm not so sure how much the SEC is pushing it. Our sources have indicated definitively that Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti was the first to raise the question of maybe 16 teams. And now the discussion has been focused more on 14 teams. And Next week, our understanding, according to sources, is that the FBS commissioners and Notre Dame leadership will try to convene again through a video conference and maybe get a little bit clearer of a picture, because the clock is ticking as far as the TV contract goes. These guys are trying to get this done quickly.
Give me the format. How does this work? Let's say it's the 12-team playoff. How many of these games to start out with are home games for teams, and how many are labeled bowl games?
In the 12-team playoff, we're talking about what we're going to see this fall. So in the 12-team playoff, it's a 5+7 format for this season. That means the five highest-ranked conference champions plus the next seven best teams are going to be in this thing. The four highest-ranked conference champions will receive a first-round bye. Notre Dame can't get one of those because they can't be a conference champion. So we'll start there. The ranking on selection day is going to look different than the seeding that happens for the bracket minutes after it. So here's an example for you. Alabama's number one in the country. Georgia's number three. They play each other in the SEC championship game. Well, Georgia doesn't have a title because they lose to Alabama. They can't get a first round bye as a conference champion. So the highest they can get as a seed would be number five, even though they might be the committee's number three team. So Georgia would have to win four straight games in this 12-team system this year to win the national title, if that makes sense.
But are these labeled bowl games? Are they just playoff games? Or, like, how does the bowl system still exist in conjunction with the playoffs?
So the New Year's Six bowls are still part of the system, but the first round games are home games. So once you get past the first round games, then you start. Then the committee, part of their job on selection day when they're slotting that bracket is to say, okay, these four teams with a bye are going to go to Cotton Peach, Fiesta, Orange Sugar, whatever it might be. And then they move on towards the semifinals and the national championship on January 20th.
Notre Dame's role in all of this is what?
Well, they're going to have to win four straight games to win a national title, too, in this 12-team system, regardless of how they finish. They could be the committee's number one team in the country on selection day and get that fifth seed minutes later because they can't win a conference championship. And they are okay with that. Let's make sure everybody, you know, there's a lot of people out there wringing hands and a lot of angst over, oh, Notre Dame can't get one of those first round byes. Jack Swarbrick, their athletic director, was one of the four people who wrote that. So they're okay with that. They're excited about having to get to host a first round game. That's how it works out if they're in the playoff. And if it does go to 14 teams, the same holds true in that they couldn't get a guaranteed spot because they can't win a conference, and they would have to count on one of those at-large spots, even in a 14-team playoff.
Are they trying to incentivize Notre Dame to join a conference?
No, and I don't think that even that would incentivize them to change their stance on it. And quite frankly, I think one of the questions that is ultimately going to come up at some point, particularly from the coaches, is the value of playing in the conference championship game. You know, well, we could lose and you drop to that number five seed, et cetera, et cetera. There are different views on that, but my understanding is that the conference championship games aren't going anywhere anytime soon.
Does this change Florida State's mindset of leaving the ACC?
They're a wild card, aren't they? And all of these conversations. You know, I think that the biggest thing that could change their mindset and further push them towards trying to escape is if they do wind up granting three automatic bids to the SEC and the Big Ten and two to the ACC and the Big 12. I can't stress the word if enough, because having covered this for over a decade, anything can happen. That's just the idea that's gotten the most traction to this point. And so there are people in the ACC who certainly are not thrilled about this idea, and I'm guessing Florida State's probably one of them.
But is this going to be voted on like soon for the 14 teams?
So next week's meeting, I'm hoping that there's more information as to how close they are towards that. And something like this does have to get passed to the presidents. There are 11 presidents and chancellors who have the authority to actually change the playoff. They have to be unanimous on it, and they would have to get their stamp of approval. But even if they say, hey, this is what we want to do, the 3-3-2-2-1-1, however you want to describe it, they still have to go back on their campuses and talk to their presidents and chancellors about this, if that's the way that they want to go. But again, I know CFP Executive Director Bill Hancock has said publicly that the timeline is mid-March, and we are creeping up on that.
It's always fascinating. Always fascinating. Thank you, Heather. We appreciate your insights on this.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Heather Dinich, senior writer for ESPN.com and college football reporter for the Mothership. Oh, college football. Got college basketball, thinking about 96 schools. We stopped at 12, and then we'll stop at 12 for 2 years, and then maybe go to 14, and then we're kind of locked in on 14, it feels like, for, what, four years? Big TV deal coming up. Schools joining the Big Ten. Schools joining the SEC. Schools wanting to leave the ACC. No more Pac-12. Whew. It's a lot. A couple of phone calls in here. Let's see. Greg in Indiana. Greg, that was good stuff with Heather. Yeah. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to comment on Fritzy's list for the leap year. Kind of surprised he didn't go with music, with the logical choice being Van Halen jump. That's all I got.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Greg.
Okay.
Yeah. Van.
Fair.
Van Halen fair. Jump with leap year names. Michael in Vegas. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind?
Hey, Dan, Danettes, first time, long time, 6 foot, 175. During the pre-show look-in, Paulie was trying to explain the math on leap years and how it doesn't take exactly 365 days for us to go around and call it a year, so that's why we have the leap year. Believe it or not, every 100 years, we do not have a leap year to keep the math right. So like 2100, when we're all around for that, there will not be a leap year. Even further, to keep the math right, every 400 years, they still have a leap year. So if we go back to 2000, we had a leap year to keep the math going correctly. Really?
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Michael. I'm more confused. Yes, Paul.
Yeah, if you're keeping track at home, if you survive to 2100, there will not be a leap year that year. So like where there usually be a February 29th, there will not be one. And in 2200, 2300, and 2500.
All right, I'll plan accordingly.
Yeah, plan accordingly.
All right, thank you. Bob in Portland. Hi, Bob. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan, it's first time, a long time, 5'6", a medium, 195. Yes. Dan, you get it. I appreciate you so much in the show. You get it. We got the new addition, my brother from a different mother, Marvin. It's Black History Month. Marvin, you're my brother. You're my representative in the nation of Dan Patrick. Appreciate you much. No, this is not the white guy from Virginia. This is a real brother here in Portland listening, loving you. And Dan, I sent you an email for an idea a couple days ago. Hope you get a chance to read it. It's too late to do it now. But welcome, Marvin. Welcome, Danette. Teamwork is what it's all about. A lot of people don't get how the races are joined so much together with teamwork and working together on a daily basis.
All right. Well, thank you, Bob. Yep, Marvin and Black History Month got an extra day.
And Bob said, we just solved racism. So we brought everybody together. Thank you.
That's what the extra day did.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's
February 29th.
Yeah.
We did it.
We did it.
We did it.
We did it.
So thanks, guys.
How about a round of applause here?
Hey, but Mark. Us. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't wait till Friday.
Oh.
New Music Friday.
Oh. Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, man. This reminds me of school. Yeah. You learn about Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks. March 1st. All right, throw those in the garbage. Yeah. No. Don't put them in your desk. Throw them in the garbage.
George Washington.
Yeah. John Kennedy.
Right. So back to Helen Keller.
Yeah.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.